Hurricane Helene that eerily landed on the same day as its counterpart in 1958 was witnessed by a St. Petersburg resident who described the scene as the water came out of nowhere. The water was parallel to the beach for hours, so once the hurricane moved up and east, it just brought the Gulf with it.
A hurricane moves to shore, makes landfall, okay, at 11:10 p.m., moving at 22 miles an hour. Off of the Gulf of Mexico, whose ambient temperature is presumably 88, 90 degrees. Okay, I'll give you that. That's a lot of energy. There's a lot of power there. You've got the Gulf Stream and all that stuff. Said hurricane continues to move. And over the course of the next 12 hours, covers 479.2 miles with no water. Explain that to me. That a hurricane is driven by the energy that it pulls in from the heat of the warm water, supposedly, from what I understand. I am no Ned Permy meteorologist, okay? However, this thing doubled in speed and went across, devastating, dropping. It might as well have pulled the entire Gulf of Mexico up and sprinkled it over the next six states.
Man, if that was a 1,000-year flood, this is a 5,000-year flood.
But the biggest thing is the Doppler radars on the ground, the NEXRAD. I talked to an engineer who said, look, we're putting in the power cables and the power relays, these Dopplers, and they're 10 times what you need. He goes, unless you're using them to ionize the atmospheres. And they admit even at low level it has some effect. But when you crank these son of a bitches up, excuse my French, they can absolutely control the weather.
It's an absolute monster. Now, there's something else kind of shooting out here underneath this layer of moisture over the southeast. Looks like it's coming from either northern Florida or a radar tower in southern Georgia. But the main one right here, look at this big beam that shoots down right to about here. That's where we're expecting landfall, give or take. Take a look. It's coming from up in this area, and it shoots down right to about here where we're expecting landfall. I'll move forward and you'll pretty much see it right away. There it is now. Boom, right here. Okay, so now we're going to zoom in and see exactly where this thing points to, because that is not your normal beam that you see coming from these radar. And it's definitely coming from the state of Georgia, probably underneath this mess here. It's coming this way, and there's a cross of that other beam either coming from northern Florida or southern Georgia.
The rest of the horses are trapped next to the barn. We cut all the fences so they could try to get out. Everything's gone.
And as the devastation destroyed entire cities within Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas, causing Conyers, Georgia, to shelter in place due to a biolab fire.
The multicolored plume of smoke from the biolab fire created an ominous cloud over Conyers Sunday, prompting law enforcement to go door-to-door evacuating residents in its path.
President Joe Biden sat on a beach in Delaware making phone calls.
I'm a hurricane, Mr. President. Why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. It's called a telephone.
Kamala ignored it, and Donald Trump rushed to the aid of Americans.
Asheville, among the hardest hit tonight, remains largely cut off from relief, frustrating residents.
Nobody's going to help us. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do.
Do you have any faith in the federal response here?
No. No.
Where the death toll remains unknown as areas are unreachable.
Volunteers and complete strangers are coming together here in the Black Mountain area of North Carolina with privately owned helicopters. And what they're doing, they're shuttling in food, water, and emergency supplies, trying to help families in the hardest hit communities of the mountains of western North Carolina.
All of the helicopters that you see on the ground right now, these are all private citizens' helicopters. They volunteered their time, they volunteered their effort to come out. Yeah. Right now, a majority of the roads that are in and out are completely impassable. They don't know when they can get up and running to actually get emergency management services out to these locations. So our best hope is through aerial recovery or aerial delivery.
Meanwhile, the Biden-Harris nightmare won't let up as eight alleged migrants have been arrested in eastern Tennessee for robbing flood victims as local communities try to recover from apocalyptic flooding. And as America is crippled, billions of dollars, along with 700 National Guard troops stationed in Nashville, Tennessee, have been sent overseas. A bookend to the betrayal of the United States by the Biden-Harris regime.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Tuesday, October 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. For the foreseeable future, I believe Harrison Smith's wife may be in labor. Texted me last night, said they were at the hospital and needed me to come in, so I'll be filling in until he is ready to come back. Best wishes for him, prayers for him and his family. Folks, this news is crazy. First of all, we've got this debate happening tonight between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance, and VP debates are traditionally very boring. There's some famous moments from VP debates, like when Joe Biden said malarkey over and over again to Paul Ryan. Turns out they were both on the same side, the side of the Uniparty. But I think this one is going to be a little different because obviously this election is particularly politically charged. And not only is it particularly politically charged, but we have a particularly controversial VP candidate. Tim Walz has been attacked time and time again for good reason. He's been videoed giving the middle finger to football fans who are criticizing him or celebrating or shouting out in favor of Trump. He has been accused of stolen valor. He's actually quite guilty of it. He said that he carried weapons of war in war. We have a 5-minute compilation, which we'll run later, probably at the top of the hour, of all the times that he's used the wrong rank to describe himself or allowed the wrong rank to be attributed to him. And he's intimately connected with the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. He's actually a Maoist. I mean, we've had Shad call in and say that he went over to China with Tim Walz, and that when he went over to China with Tim Walz, he was doing things like collecting as many copies of the Little Red Book, Mao's Little Red Book, as possible. He was doing things like forbidding his other students or the other people that were with him on the trip from criticizing anything about the CCP, particularly Tiananmen Square. He's obviously claimed that he was in Tiananmen Square when it happened, though it's been proven through journalism and photographs that he was covered in the media in, I believe, his home state of Nebraska during that time. And Tiananmen Square events took place over a course of a couple of months years ago. He got married on the 5th anniversary of Tiananmen Square. And he says it so he can remember his anniversary, as if that's funny. It's like, can you imagine if I got married on April 20th? Oh, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, remember that it was Hitler's, you know, birthday. That's the only way I'm going to remember my anniversary. Oh, so you want to get married on the anniversary of a major, just terrible crisis of humanity, a violation of human rights. But not only that, Shad, when he called in, told the story about how they saw members of the People Liberation Army beating the hell out of a cripple and dragging that cripple into an alley because they were so embarrassed that someone was begging in front of their American visitors. And while the other people that were with him, Tim Walz, on the trip were getting riled up and wanted to interfere to save this poor man that was being beaten by the People's Liberation Army. It's always in the name of the people. Tim Walz said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And maybe that was prudent. But we have someone who is willing to allow evil to be done, to celebrate evil, to conduct evil himself without any interference whatsoever, as this VP candidate with now deep ties to the CCP. And we see that it is being investigated formally. And I don't think this is just political gamesmanship that is catalyzing this investigation. I think it's legitimately a concern. things like the Confucius Institutes and organizations of that neighbor that are associated with the CCP. And I don't know if Kamala Harris is a communist, but I do know that Tim Walz is absolutely a communist. I think Kamala Harris is just whatever she needs to be, right? In Batman, it's famous. He says, I am whatever Gotham needs me to be, and it's supposed to be a good thing. She is whatever the deep state needs her to be. And that's why we see her flip-flop on issue after issue, whether it's fracking, whether it's the border. I was the border czar. I'm not the border czar. The border is secure. We're going to secure the border. She flip-flops on absolutely everything, every day, in every way, because she doesn't have any principles of her own. She has no identity of her own. She really is Chameleon Kamala. And if Tim Walz is the VP, I think she's going to be Comrade Kamala. And we see that she made this selection to pick Tim Walz as the vice presidential candidate because she wants to get that support in the Rust Belt. She wants to counteract the advantages that Trump has that he's chosen J.D. Vance with similar appeal in the same swing state areas. And he's come out, Tim Walz, and said, we're for unions. Unions are the backbone of this country. Unions built this country. Joe Biden said the same thing on his campaign trail. Unions built this country. They're going for the unions time and time again. Unions, of course, traditionally being associated with leftism. And I can't think of an institution or an instance in history when organized labor wasn't deeply associated with organized crime. Just look at Jimmy Hoffa being the head of the Teamsters. We understand that these unions are oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes the mob, exploiting and weaponizing their organized labor for the sake of taking advantage, not just of small business owners, but now of taxpayers. We used to think of labor unions as unions for major manufacturing companies, whether it was auto dealerships or mines, real hard labor. Now there's the teachers' unions, which exploit their political pull to ensure that they get as many tax dollars as possible, to ensure that they can purchase as many books as possible that have pornography in them so they can transify your children in elementary school. And now we have this development that these unions aren't really all that excited about the left anymore. And I think it's because they realize that the Democrats themselves over the course of 50 years, and Republicans are guilty of this too to some extent, if not directly, just by complicity, standing by, the Democrats have systematically outsourced virtually all manufacturing to China since the 70s. We hardly make anything here in America anymore. It is hard to find anything truly made in America. You can find examples of this. Jocko Willink is somebody who makes boots and jeans in America, but it definitely costs a premium. And a major reason that these things are so much more expensive is because of the regulations and policies that the unions have instituted over the years. My brother is a painting contractor. He owns a painting company. They hire a bunch of contractors. And he was telling me about the painters' unions from years ago when the roller was invented to paint walls, exterior, interior, ceilings, whatever. Originally, initially, according to him, the unions banned the use of rollers and mandated that all members of the union only use brushes to paint because the rollers were too fast and it was having a negative impact on the hourly rates of painters that were members of the union. This is the counterintuitive, counterproductive inevitability of this approach, this organized labor. And you hear Kamala Harris coming out and saying, oh, we have to stop the price gouging and the price fixing. The major grocery distributors are fixing their prices and gouging their prices. The gas companies are fixing and gouging their prices. They're conspiring together to set prices that are not competitive in order to exploit and take advantage of working class people who have to spend so much money on these necessary and essential items in order to get by. But what is organized labor if not price fixing for the cost of labor? When you get together and say, hey, nobody works unless they pay us $500 an hour. You realize that I believe in Georgia, I'm not sure if it's Georgia, I know it was Representative Mike Collins who posted this the other day on X. The average salary of a union worker is like $147,000 plus $35,000 in healthcare benefits, and they're going to go on strike. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to criticize them. There's a part of me that's deeply pleased that this is happening, not because I want to see any suffering or struggling or supply chain shortages in the United States of America. But if this strike goes through and ensues here before November 5th, and we begin to feel the ramifications of that, and we begin to see COVID-like emptiness on the shelves, it is going to look like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris really dropped the ball and the whole country's falling apart. Everybody's going to vote for Donald Trump. This might actually be the strategy. These unions may understand that by imposing tariffs on imported goods into the United States, it makes domestic labor more competitive, domestic manufacturing more competitive, and that's ultimately going to be much better for unions all over the country. And they may be doing this in a conspiracy to just totally sabotage the Biden and Kamala Harris administration and therefore Kamala Harris's campaign. I want to show you this clip. Let's run. Clip number 9, this is a union leader from the other day saying why it is that they're going on strike. Clip number 9, please.
Let me explain something to you. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you. And you have no idea what that means. Nobody does.
And this is what bothers me so much about some of his comments. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, if this is indeed a conspiracy to undermine the Biden administration, to sabotage the Kamala Harris campaign, then great. Anything that helps Trump get elected on November 5th, I think, is a good thing. But generally speaking, this is the attitude and mentality of union labor that troubles me so much. And I understand that there was a time in this country, whether it was the first half of the 20th century or the last half of the 19th century, when there was such a thing as businesses taking advantage of their employees. I understand that there was a time when women had to work until their fingers broke, when children had to work until their fingers broke, when there was no such thing as overtime, when the hours were grueling, when the pay was dismal. I know that there was a necessary time for organized labor or unions in order to establish reasonable terms of employment and labor. I get it. Respect it. 100%. I believe in things like overtime pay. We have crew here that receives overtime pay if we work beyond the normal business hours, and they absolutely should. We're going to be here till midnight tonight covering the vice president debate live on the air, and these guys are going to get paid overtime, not because they're members of a union, but because it's the right thing to do. Most of the time, good businesses actually choose to do the right thing. But we have no need for these unions anymore for so many reasons. Now we've got this situation where he's saying that they demand to be compensated because they didn't get to go home and work from home because of the nature of their work during the COVID lockdowns. That, I mean, maybe that's just an excuse to do something that he wants to do to help the Trump campaign by sabotaging this administration. But that's no reason. Everybody here worked the entire pandemic. And those union workers were compensated for going to work. It's not like they weren't paid at all and they just had to work for free. Now they're trying to get compensated. They want to get paid twice. These leftists act like greed is something that only comes from the top down, that greed is something that only exists among corporate leaders and political leaders. And it's certainly true that greed does exist among corporate leaders and political leaders, but it's not exclusive to them. Everybody is equally capable of greed. The common petty thief that breaks into your car is being greedy. They are willing to violate your rights for the sake of their own improvement. That is a form of greed, is it not? We've got another clip here I want to show you. Dock workers at U.S. ports go on strike over wages and automation. This is clip number three. We're going to run this and then unpack it on the other side.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Move.
Without a fair contract.
We had to end up a six-year contract.
Okay.
And we are in negotiations now for a fair contract. A fair contract. Okay. And a contract not filled with automation. What they need to do is pay these men and women a fair wage. They made billions and billions and billions of dollars. Okay. All right, billions and billions and billions of dollars, okay? And during COVID, they ripped off the whole industry. They ripped the government off and every damn body else during COVID, okay? Now, we want them to pay back. They're going to pay back. We mean business. We're going to do it as long as it needs to be done, okay? This is not something that you start and you stop. We're not weak. What we control, as far as the economy is concerned, okay, is unbelievable. Okay? We may be 60,000 members from Maine to Texas, but what we control in the economy is billions and billions and billions of dollars every day. Every day. Okay? And all we want them to do is share. Okay? What we demand, our demands are to share and not to replace us with automation. My men and women work better than any machine around anyway.
All right, folks, U.S. port strikes causing first shutdown in almost 50 years. So this administration is the administration that has overseen the first port strike shutdown in 50 years. Tens of thousands of dock workers have gone on strike indefinitely at ports across much of the U.S., threatening significant trade and economic disruption ahead of the presidential election and busy holiday shopping season. It's the members of the International Longhorns Association. They walked out on Tuesday at 14 major ports along the East and Gulf Coast. Now we're hearing reports Maine and Texas are going to be affected, and even California, Newport rumors. U.S. ports from Maine to Texas shut down Tuesday when the union representing about 45,000 dock workers went on strike for the first time since 1977. It's going to raise prices, cause more inflation, cause more shortages. And I didn't mean for this to turn into a plug, but I told my wife last night, now is the time to get things like the storable food at InfoWarsStore.com. I would make sure you have your groceries packed up. The storable food's always a good option. But I think we're going to see COVID-like shortages again, because everything we get in America is made somewhere else. Since our politicians have sold us out since the 70s, we have now arrived at a place in this nation where we are totally dependent on these bottlenecks, these ports, and our enemies, frankly. And if we go to World War III like they want us to, like they are trying to catalyze, then we'll see things like our medicine disappear, our insulin disappear. The only thing that we make in the United States of America anymore is food, practically, and we export much of that. It's the real reason that Ukraine is of such great interest, because if Russia successfully takes over Ukraine and has control of the breadbasket of Europe, diverts those agricultural exports away from Europe and into China instead, then China, for the first time in history, becomes independent of U.S. agricultural exports. So our farmers will suffer because that demand will go away overseas. And because they go out of business and suffer, we'll see the BlackRocks and the Bill Gates and the others conglomerate all of the agricultural production in the United States into small hands. Then we'll see China totally independent of us, which means that they can wage war with us. And we will be totally dependent on them for all of our medicine, which means our insulin issues, all of our health issues, everything that we import in the United States will just vanish and we'll have a collapse of all the farmers, so we'll have food shortages in the United States because it won't be economically viable to be a farmer anymore because of all the regulations and the sudden drop in demand. I mean, the stage is being set for the total collapse of the United States of America, not just by our enemies, but by our own political class. And it's all because we, since World War II, have embraced globalism as a political trajectory instead of nationalism, instead of populism. And anytime you say nationalism, they call you a Nazi. And anytime you say populism, they call you an isolationist. As if there's something wrong with being totally independent. It'd be like if I was moving out of my parents' house when I was 18 to try to start on my own and be as independent as possible. If my parents said, don't do that. What are you, some kind of an isolationist? No, the point is we need nations that are independent of one another because independence is the path to prosperity and freedom and ultimately peace. It's when we're intertwined and intimately connected in this complicated global web of interdependence, codependence, to use a term that has the right connotations, that we're most susceptible and vulnerable to conflict. Don't you think that when 71% of Russia's economy is dependent on natural gas exports through Ukraine, maybe that increases the likelihood that Russia would have an interest in protecting Ukraine from NATO? It's this interdependence and this internationalism, this globalism, this web of codependence that catalyzes all of these conflicts. What do they teach in school about the cause of World War I? Anytime you learn about World War I, whether it's in junior high all the way through collegiate courses, you hear that the problem was there was an interconnected, codependent web of treaties that were not necessarily publicly known, some of them secret. And as a result of the first domino falling before World War I, it inevitably caused all the other dominoes to fall that led to this conflict. And they thought they solved it with the League of Nations, but that was just a different form of globalism, which led to World War II. And we thought we solved World War II with the United Nations, but that's just a different form of globalism that's leading to World War III. Every time there is a world war, there is a greater infrastructure set up of further globalism, which causes the next conflict. I'm telling you, globalism is to power what fractional reserve banking is to economies or to money. Just as it's a Ponzi scheme to use fractional reserve banking and it makes our fiat currency vulnerable to crashes that we've never seen before, so is globalism to power. They are both currencies. Power cannot be created or destroyed. It merely changes form, just like energy, and all money is a form of energy. A measurement, a unit of measurement for productivity, the exact same mistakes we make in any facet of our civilization, we make in any other and every other facet of our civilization because we are basing our entire philosophy and society off of dishonesty, corruption, lies, false incentives, and unfairness, ultimately unfairness. You want to talk about unions and fairness. It is ultimately unfair that when the government cannot pass legislation to tax you honestly, they simply print the money and tax you dishonestly by stealing all the buying power of the money that you have. Folks, we're going to get into more news on the other side. Please, in the meantime, visit InfoWarsStore.com. I highly recommend getting Life Select storable food. We are going to see some shortages, it looks like, in the next couple of months unless some miracle happens. So please stock up on supplies like toilet paper, food, medicine, things like that, because if this strike doesn't shut down our economy, then certainly World War III will. Let's just hope and pray that Donald Trump is elected on the 5th of November, a day which shall never be forgot. Visit InfoWarsStore.com right now. Take advantage of these awesome deals. Not only do you need the products, but you are supporting this operation and keeping us on the air. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and be the reason we are still on the air.
I want to talk to the InfoWars listeners, and I just want you to know that I really appreciate what you've done. You know, I want to fight the globalists. I want to take them on. I want to defeat them because it's the right thing to do, and we'll be slaves or dead if they're able to get their agenda fully through. And if you think about how far we've come in 30 years and how almost no one knew this information decades ago, but now everything I've been covering forever is now really mainstream and all the top talk show hosts, not just in the Western world, but all over the planet, are talking about one world government and the end of the family and how pedophiles are in control and how they want to depopulate us and everything that we've been exposing. We don't have big establishment sponsors. We don't have billionaire secret financiers like the left. We're funded just like Trump with small donations. That's how he's funded. We're funded by you supporting us, by you getting the products. So we try to bring you, this is important, the very best products out there so you get a absolutely great response from it. And so that you really, really like it and know that we weren't steering you wrong. Now, of the 1% or so of people that ever buy a product, we get 5-star reviews, 4.7, 4.8 in third-party reviews. But the vast majority of you love the info. It's very popular. People love freedom. They don't want to be slaves. But only a tiny percentage of you ever actually go and get any of the products. These are great products you want. They're the highest quality, discounted from what the ultra-quality brands sell them for. Here's an example, okay? We sell high-quality, full-spectrum CBD gummies that are made by one of the top labs in the country. Even when the company we get these from discounts them, and they have a pretty good deal, it's $10, $15 more than we sell it for. Then when we discount it, it's like $25 less than they sell it for. These are high quality gummies. Somebody's already been into these. But just look at these. Just full of these. And they actually are a little bit moist because they're just so full of all the goodies, ladies and gentlemen. One of these, you sleep great. One of these makes you focus, have just incredible clarity, but you're relaxed. And again, that's about a half full bottle because that's here in the studio. Folks have been getting into them. And if you know a good gummy, it's a little juicy, it's a little wet, it's just totally jam-packed. Now, these are great, but then they have the 1,000-milligram tincture at InfoWarsStore.com. I say they, it's the group we private label it from. They ship it from their warehouse in Colorado. So when you order, it just comes from them right to you, because that's where our warehouse is as well. And the 1,000-milligram is super strong, full spectrum, incredible high quality, and the folks we get it from sell it on average for $45 more than we sell the 1,000 milligram for. So you want to take advantage of all of that. There's all the other great products, Nerve Renew. There is Good Night Sleep, an amazing natural formula for better sleep. The 1,000 milligram vitamin C and zinc with rose hips, the Linus Pauling formula. With the rose hips and the zinc, so good for your whole immune system and body. Then, of course, there's Better Mood, really works well. And then Vitamin Mineral Fusion, sold out for a long time. We got a huge shipment in, but I'm offering it for 40% off because I want you to get it and experience it. Tastes great, all natural, all the vitamins, all the minerals, all the key amino acids, everything you need in one place. Tastes great. Make a picture of it, you know, every 4 or 5 days. Have a glass in the morning, glass at night. Send it off to school with your kids. Take some to work. A bottle of it. It is amazing. And you get full absorption because it's liquid rather than pills. So, Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock. 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the InfoWars MD line and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air. Plus, these are great products you want.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. I'm going to dive right into some of this hurricane news. Trump delivers aid to Hurricane Helene victims. Is it Helene or Helen? As Biden and Kamala scramble to organize federal response. There's so much to unpack here with this. First of all, there's the left claiming that it's all about climate change. Then you have Kamala and Biden claiming that the federal government's doing everything within its power to help, but it doesn't really seem to be the case. Then you have the fact that Trump is the only one there, and Trump and Elon are coordinating communications. Starlink for the areas that are most affected. Crew told me during the break something I'd forgotten, but I believe the federal government had previously denied contracts to install Skylink in rural areas. So now they have to come in after the fact, post facto, when everything else falls apart and shuts down, and scramble together to install as much of this as possible to ensure people have the internet and communication. And, you know, it's kind of a tragedy. We've arrived at a place where Verizon was down almost all day yesterday, and it was barely news because it's like the half dozenth time that's happened in the last 18 months. We had the AT&T outages, then we had the Verizon outages, and others throughout the last year and a half. Remember, they were blaming it on solar weather, saying that space weather was the reason that we were losing communications, even though only specific towers were affected. You realize that we're in World War III, right? You realize that when our communications go down in droves, it's either our own deep state testing something, which we'll use as a false flag later, or it is enemy combatants like Iran and others hacking our comm systems to threaten us as escalations rise between Israel and everyone else in the Middle East and, frankly, the world. These things just don't happen out of nowhere. Why is it that it's 2024 and we see mass outages when technology is supposedly more sophisticated than it's ever been? These mass outages weren't happening 10 or 15 or 20 years ago when the technology was so much more rudimentary. Do you remember 10, 15, 20 years ago? What was it, Verizon? What was the slogan with the guy? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You go all the way up to Antarctica, can you hear me? Yeah, on Verizon, you can always get a signal. You can always hear. That was the thing, and it was true back then. Everybody switched. They charged a premium because it always worked. Then we had these mass outages, and all they can say is, we're working on it. We're looking into it. We have our engineers on it. Something is incredibly fishy going on here. Now we have the Biden administration, the leftists, saying that these hurricanes are a result of climate change. They're blaming, indirectly blaming right-wing politics, Republicans, climate change deniers, for the fact that the crisis exists in the first place when it's an act of God. It's a natural disaster, literally called a natural disaster. And then they're blaming climate change. It's like, okay, well, if climate change is real, and if you've known for so long that climate change is real, then how come you're not prepared for these types of things to happen? If it's so predictable now because Republicans are so bad and manufacturers are polluting the atmosphere so badly and fossil fuels are ruining the planet so badly, if it's so predictable that we're going to have hurricanes like this every year or 2 years or 5 years, then why don't you build the infrastructure in place to withstand this? Why are you denying contracts to companies like Starlink, which could ensure that communications remain in force when cities get flooded? Here's Mayorkas in clip number 6, alluding to the fact that it was climate change that was responsible for this disaster.
I want to read to you something that the mayor of Canton, North Carolina, said, talking about the frustration that a lot of people feel about the lack of communication. Here's what he said. It is unacceptable and disgusting that in our time of need, cellular service for the entire region is blocked out. There's no excuse for that. I mean, we knew the storm was coming. I can't believe this is a normalcy. Is this a systemic problem? Is this something that
looks
is
like
going to be more
Elmer
and more normal as we see
Elmer's
more
glue
and more devastating
if
storms?
There was like
what do you
a face
say to
of
people
Elmer
who are desperate to find out whether people they love are still alive?
I well understand the concerns expressed. These are people in the midst of a tragic hurricane. That is precisely why we and others have been deploying communications resources to ensure that communication is reinstated as quickly as possible. The reality is that the severity and frequency of extreme weather events are only increasing.
Yeah, so extreme weather events are increasing, implying that it's climate change. Okay, then why aren't you prepared for things like this? How come you don't have a backup plan in place? I mean, the federal government has found a way to send billions upon billions of dollars, not just to Ukraine, but all over the world for years. How much do we spend every year now? Trillions? But they can't figure out a way for people to be able to call their loved ones during an extreme weather event? Please. And I understand that these things are generally inevitable, whether you believe in climate change or not. It's inevitable that there's going to be climate disasters that happen from time to time. Whether it's frequently or infrequently, it's certainly going to happen several times across the average human lifespan. So shouldn't we have the infrastructure in place to prepare for this? And we're seeing that the response from the current administration has just been totally abysmal. Clip number 5 here, we have Kamala refusing to take questions on the botched hurricane response as the press is forced out of the room. Just watch her. You can tell that she's ashamed of herself, and she knows that she's in a, she doesn't have the capacity to do this job. Clip five. She also doesn't know the names of the people she's sitting with, which is why those name tags are facing the way they are. All right, I just want to get a photo op of me in a room with important people. But when asked important questions, I want to make sure you leave the room as quickly as possible because I frankly do not know the answers to any important questions. And we saw that photo the other day. I don't know if the crew has it. I don't mean to throw a curveball. Of her sitting on Air Force Two, and she's got a blank piece of paper. And if you really zoom in on the piece of paper that she's supposedly taking notes on during this important call, if you really zoom in on it, you can tell that she's making this squiggly pattern, like this, like the loop-de-loo. You have to, I mean, I don't even know if that's, if you're going to be able to do it from the camera, but she, you could tell that she's literally just doing this. So it looks like she's writing. Her phone's not plugged in. She's on the airplane. Communications are down, right? And she's wearing the same clothes from the day before, right? So the picture was obviously taken before, a day before it was posted. And by the way, can we look up how much that necklace is worth that she's wearing? I don't know if you can Google it or search it. She's wearing, I think, a Tiffany's necklace. I think it's worth over $50,000. So we have this working class. I grew up in the middle class. I grew up in a struggling family. She's wearing a necklace worth tens of thousands of dollars, married into millions upon millions of dollars, claims to love the working class so much while she wants to price gouge and catalyze shortages. It wants to increase taxes for everyone. She just wants the billionaires to pay their fair share. What do you think happens when you increase taxes on anyone in this country? It passes off on everyone else. Everything else becomes more expensive. And by the way, don't even get me started on the cell phone data. You want to talk about the cell phone data at her rallies? If you thought 2,000 mules was cool with tracking the cell phone data of different mules running ballots around, just wait until you look into the details of how many people who go to her rallies across the country are the same people. Bust in, flown in. You realize that when you watch a television show, whether it's a game show or a studio audience, a program like that, when they have a studio audience, in most cases, not all cases, there are some late night shows that are very popular. In most cases, those studio audiences are paid to be there. They're paid, I don't know, $15 an hour, $20 an hour. Maybe they're paid a day rate of $100 a piece. They get 100 people in there. They obey the signs to applaud, to laugh when to laugh. Then it makes the show feel more alive when you watch it on television. That is something that's well known. The same exact thing is happening at these Kamala Harris rallies. And I know Trump isn't doing it because when I was in Reading, Pennsylvania with Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Jack Posobiec, that stadium was sold out. It was a hockey stadium that was sold out in Reading, Pennsylvania. People actually paid to be there and they cheered without us having to hold up a sign that said 1776. They just screamed and shouted in unison 1776 of their own volition. That is the difference between the left and the right now. That is the difference between the political class and the populist class in America right now. We show up because we want to be there for our country. They have to pay people to show up to be there for the enemies of freedom and humanity worldwide because no one naturally wants to support these people who just scribble in circles on blank pieces of paper with their headphones not plugged into their phone, claiming that they're on some sort of a phone call. By the way, it's not the first time that she's done this. How much is that necklace worth? I can't see it. $62,000 Tiffany & Co. necklace, ladies and gentlemen. She is wearing around her neck something very close to the average household income of a family of four in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. She loves you so much, she wants to wear your salary on her neck as a constant reminder of the struggle of working class Americans. She is Satan incarnate, I swear to God. But I come from a middle-class family. What are you going to do about the economy and the inflation issues? Well, let me tell you something. My mother was a struggling working class. Totally irrelevant responses, incoherent responses. She's not even sick. She's just dumb. She's not even suffering from dementia like Joe Biden. He was never a bright guy, but he could put a sentence together. I mean, he did beat Paul Ryan in the vice presidential debates. But she is just abundantly stupid. In the wise words of Harrison Smith, dangerously stupid. You want to talk about dangerous rhetoric? They're talking about dangerous speech, dangerous rhetoric, how free speech should be annihilated because it's a threat to democracy now. This is dangerous stupidity. I say we outlaw stupidity before we outlaw rhetoric. Do you realize how dumb you have to be to have an IQ below 100? Half the population has an IQ below 100, below average in the United States of America. Do you realize what kind of questions you cannot get correct if you have an IQ of, say, 90 or 95? Things like, if I'm driving up a road and I see a yellow house and then a red house and then a blue house, what color is the second house? People with an IQ below 95, 90 cannot answer that question. That's how dumb they are. But all of our votes are the same because this is a constitutional republic where we are represented. All of our votes are the same. So stupidity disproportionately impacts us. It is a disproportionate injustice on those of us who have average and above average IQs. And I'm not saying that everybody's got to be brilliant or a genius. I'm not even saying that I'm that bright, okay? I know I'm above 100. But if we do things like allow atrazine in the water and fluoride in the water and iodine deficiency at large scales and chemicals in the water and microplastics in our balls, we're going to be infertile and stupid forever. And the dumber we are, the worse things get. And the more the mob calls for democracy and the more democracy is empowered, the dumber the whole civilization gets. And then everything collapses to the point where you have someone wearing a year's salary around their neck, scribbling a fake note, claiming to solve a very real problem without doing anything whatsoever to solve this problem. We are on the fast lane, the fast track to just 21st century, 22nd century stupidity, and it's going to amount to nothing but massive world war explosions and collapse. And these unions and these dock workers just want to shut down the economy. They want people to starve. We've allowed ourselves to be totally dependent on China's economy and production for everything, essential and non-essential alike, making us so vulnerable to just total destruction by actual political philosophies and peoples and governments that do despise our values. You remember after 9/11 in 2001, they said that the terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. Call them freedom fries if the French won't help us in the war. They say that the terrorists hated our freedom so much and our way of life so much that they attacked us, even though we know it was a false flag operation. We knew that it was coming. We allowed it to happen. We catalyzed it. Alex Jones predicted it before it happened, said warn the White House. They're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden. But the CCP does actually hate our freedom. The Chinese Communist power, the Maoists, like Tim Walz, they do actually hate things like private property rights, individual freedoms, individual rights, because they only think in terms of the collective. And they have to eradicate all individual identity to put everyone in one malleable group. It's so much easier to manage a people as a collective than it is every individual within an institution or a civilization. That's why they hate individualism so much. And so why is it that our leaders have allowed us to become so dependent on a very powerful superpower that does actually hate our freedom and way of life and philosophy and culture in the way that we claimed that the terrorists from 9/11 do? And if those desert people can hijack a plane, fly it into buildings, catalyze a 20-year war that they win, they won the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't care what anybody tells you, then what do you think China can do? If we couldn't beat the Afghanis or the Iraqis or the terrorists in the desert, they're running around with AK-47s. We've got the most sophisticated weaponry in the world, allegedly, probably not even true anymore that. What do you think China could do to us? And right now, they're dependent on our economy. Yes, there is a codependence happening, but that is going away very quickly. And Ukraine is a very central part of that. That's the real reason that we're funding billions upon billions of dollars to Ukraine, because we understand that if China, through Ukraine and Russia, becomes independent of our agricultural exports, specifically soybeans, it is going to totally change the power structure and dynamic of the world in a very dangerous and vulnerable way. But for some reason, instead of trying to explain that to the people of the United States of America, trying to make a case for that, I guess because they understand that it shows the inefficiencies and vulnerabilities of our whole entire approach to leadership in this country, they just make this erroneous claim that the reason we're supporting Ukraine is because we believe in their national sovereignty, or we believe in their freedom or their democracy. First of all, if they're members of NATO, they have no national sovereignty. They're not members of NATO, but that's the argument that it should be. So it's not about protecting their national sovereignty whatsoever. Second of all, it's not about protecting a democracy. Zelensky canceled all the elections. It's certainly not a democracy. And we know that it's not about protecting the sanctity of their borders because we have allowed tens of millions of people to come into this country illegally in the last 3 years. 500,000 of them at least convicted criminals. Tens of thousands of those 500,000 convicted of crimes like rape, murder, and robbery or burglary. The other crime is more petty. So you're telling me we have 500,000 criminals running around in this country that we let in, but our government believes in things like national sovereignty? You got to be absolutely kidding me. And we see them sacrifice our interests time and time again. Let's just look at the fact that Donald Trump, as a citizen of the United States of America, is behaving in a more presidential way than Kamala Harris as the VP running candidate, or as Joe Biden, who's sitting at the beach while floods happen the world over. Even CNN is pointing this out. This is clip number one. CNN admits Trump is treated like sitting president when visiting hurricane victims.
He is being treated not just as a former president, but almost as though he is a sitting president. As Boris, you just noted, getting a briefing from FEMA, getting a briefing from the National Guard, that is not something that is typically just offered to a candidate. They are treating him as though he is a former president who is there to help. And one thing that I had noticed earlier during our 1 p.m. conversation was that Donald Trump did not have that much to offer in terms of resources since he is not a sitting president. But I will note that he, and the campaign, say that they have arrived in that area with trucks full of supplies that they plan on giving out. So there is something there for them to offer. He also said that he had a tanker truck full of gasoline, which obviously, if you've ever covered one of these storms, you understand that one of the first things and hardest things to come by is gasoline. So he said that he was going to be giving that out. He is clearly taking this seriously as a politician is on the ground trying to show that he is
there. So again, we have Trump doing the actual work, coordinating with Elon Musk for Starlink to be available, trying to deliver supplies while our own federal government fails. And for some reason, we're the domestic terrorists. We're the selfish, greedy capitalists. We're the evil ones that want to betray and deny freedom. We don't care about minority communities. We are so evil, in fact, that they've even created an off-Broadway play called Fatherland, which is obviously a nod to the common Nazi reference of Germany as the Fatherland. They made a movie about J6 called Fatherland. I got to show you this clip. It's clip number 8, just about 1 minute long. Watch how they're depicting you. Watch how they're depicting
you. And the sick should be locked up for the rest of their lives, everyone.
Are you recording this?
What?
Are you recording this?
No! I am not recording.
You better not be. Don't betray me. Don't ruin this family. Do not put this family in jeopardy.
I am not the one that is putting our family in jeopardy.
If you cross a line here, I will do my duty. I will have no other choice. Choose a side. Choose a side or die. I put you in this world. I can take you out. Don't turn your back on
me! I'm not turning my back!
Whoever turns his back on me is a traitor! Is that what's happening here? If you turn me in, you are a traitor. And traitors get shot.
Unbelievable depiction. And you notice how when they don't have an actual historical example of something specific happening that they wish had happened to make their political case, they just make it up in a fiction. They make up this interaction between a father and a son that never really took place in order to just project it and ascribe it onto entire swaths of our population for their own political gain. We see the same thing happen with the Kamala Harris campaign when talking about IVF and abortion issues. They hire actors to do these ads about how they could have died if these policies were in place, or maybe they wouldn't have been able to have their children if these policies were in place, but no one died and you were able to have children. And they just got caught this week hiring paid actors to claim that they switched from being Republican voters to Democratic voters on the ad, because they can't find real examples of these people. Or if they do find a real example of these people, it's not somebody that they want to have on camera because it doesn't match the demographic that they're trying to target. So they just hire actors to claim that they switched from Republican to Democrat, and they're so excited. But they love us so much. We're the ones that don't care about the people of America. They love us and freedom so much that WikiLeaks' Julian Assange has come out and said that he pleaded guilty to journalism in order to be freed. We know who the enemies of free speech are. They say it themselves. We know who the enemies of the press are. They say it themselves. John Kerry this week saying that the First Amendment itself is a threat to democracy. Hillary Clinton this week saying that the press needs to have a more controlled and centered narrative against Trump. These are two violations of the First Amendment right there. But we're the ones that don't care about journalism, or we're the ones that are responsible for misinformation or disinformation. Tell me, if the government has a total monopoly over the distribution of information whatsoever, who do you think is the most capable of distributing misinformation in that case then? And we know they've tried to do it because Project Mockingbird is documented, folks. And when there were only three or four or five channels whereby everyone in America got the news, that was when this country was the most susceptible to misinformation than it's ever been, even today in the internet age. Because though we are exposed to falsehoods all the time on the internet, we are also exposed to community notes in the truth all the time. The truth always rises above the crap that is the lies. In these algorithms, as long as they're not controlled and as long as they're honest, the truth always wins. But here's clip number 7 of Julian Assange saying why he pleaded guilty to journalism.
I want to be totally clear. I am not free today because the system worked. I am free today after years of incarceration because I pled guilty to journalism. I pled guilty to seeking information from a source. I pled guilty to obtaining information from a source, and I pled guilty to informing the public what that information was. I did not plead guilty to anything else. I hope my testimony today can serve to highlight the weaknesses of the existing safeguards, and to help those whose cases are less visible but who are equally vulnerable.
Folks, we're coming up on a break. Journalism is under attack. We saw what they did to Julian Assange. We see what they're doing to Alex Jones and to InfoWars and to this crew, this network, and to humanity itself. The best way to support us is to go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, or TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. Get the fundraiser shirt to help keep Alex on the air no matter what happens or what obstacles we face. We've got Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, 40% off. Flagship product. It's going to fly off the shelves. Please support us one way or the other and save humanity itself.
Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off, even though it's our number one bestseller. All the vitamins, all the minerals, all of the amino acids, everything you need that's essential. And let me tell you what essential means. You need air, you die in 4 minutes without it. You need water, you die in 5 days without it. You need food, you die on average in a month without it. Because what's in the food? The vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids. This has everything that's essential. All the vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Tastes great. Concentrate. Put a little scoop in a pitcher of water. Take it to work with you. Drink it morning, noon, and night. Give it to your kids, your neighbors. Really important for old folks because their guts don't absorb as much. Vitamin Mineral Fusion sells all day at full price. It is 40% off as part of the sale going right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And then discounts right now on full spectrum CBD gummies, super strong, lowers inflammation, so good for your whole body and so good for mental relaxed clarity. It's not a sedative, but it's like you're awake, but you're relaxed. The gummies are incredible. I like to take them before I go to bed at night. And then on top of that, we have the 1,000 milligram CBD under the InfoWars MD label that is private label again by the same top folks, ladies and gentlemen, they sell it for $45 more on average than we do, and their competitors for even more. 1,000 milligram real full-spectrum CBD is sold in elite shops and at doctor's offices for $150 all day long. It's a good deal if you get it for $60-$70, and that's what we're selling it for. In fact, it's an insanely good deal. You can't really find anybody else selling high quality at that price. So, full-spectrum CBD at InfoWarsStore.com in the gummies and the liquid tincture, and so many other great products at InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Get your vitamin mineral fusion. Check out the InfoWars MD line and more at InfoWarsStore.com, and I thank you all for your support.
I'm going to go to the hospital.